This is episode 401, dated Monday, July 28, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be with you today. This is episode 401, dated Monday, July 28, 2025. Before we continue, let me introduce who we have so far as our panel members, and then we're going to introduce our special guest after that. Okay, Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena, California. It's 79. It's a beautiful day today. Little breeze blowing, and everything's right with the world, or at least my piece of it.
We are about to have yet another heat wave here in southern New England. It started pretty much today. Temperatures are in the 80s, close to 90. It's humid. It's going to be humid for the next two or three days or so with temperatures in the 90s would feel like temperatures in the triple digits. I do not know where the rest of the panel members are. If any of you have arrived.
I'm here, boss.
Okay. Reverend Michael Garrett, how are you?
Great, great, great. Just back from the National Beat Baseball World Series, where it was hot. We had to heat index up to 113 in one of the days, but it's 96 degrees here in Missouri City, Texas, and bright sunny day. I'm jealous, Mitch. I like that 79 degrees.
Well, you know,
Michael, somebody wanted to know the name of your baseball team, and I said our would ask you.
Our team is the Bayou City Heat.
The Bayou City Heat. Okay. Great. Okay, so until we hear from other panelists, I will just resume my housekeeping, as they call it in the business. Let me thank those people who make it possible for a Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer and editor. Thank you for what you do. Our media sources, thank you for what you do. And also Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. If you want to find the archives, just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter Altschul would affectionately say if he were here, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Steve, who's our facilitator for today's program, and Brad for being our streamer. How you doing? I want to thank both of you. And, of course, we are live streamed, and because we are, let me give out my email address for those people who wish to write us and submit their comments to us, because we like to hear from our listeners. It's very important that we know how our listeners feel about what we're talking about. So that's bobbranco93@gmail.com, bobbranco93@gmail.com. We have back with us our special guest, Mike Capps. Mike does radio work has been doing radio work for minor league baseball, and he's also doing radio work for a college, University of Texas San Antonio, I believe it's called. Right, Mike?
That's exactly right.
Well, welcome back to our program. We appreciate you being with us, as always.
I have to tell you, every time I hear that opener come on, and I guess this is probably the fourth time I've been on with you guys, it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. This is really exciting. I really, really enjoy our visits when we get a chance to do that.
Well, the feeling is mutual, Mike, believe me. Before we get into our conversation, I need to apologize to Mitch. Because the Red Sox took 2 or 3 out of the Dodgers. I just want to apologize for that.
I was going to say that congratulations to the Red Sox. Your Roman Anthony is really fantastic. But I really believe that the Dodgers are mailing it in. They don't really believe the Padres are a threat. The Dodgers will win the division. But the lack of focus is so bloody apparent that it's really sad. That pitching performance, Dustin May, you saw the quintessential Dustin May yesterday. He pitches well for a couple of innings and then just blows up. As I say, I think the Dodgers will win the division, but they're not going to look good doing it. But I was also going to comment to Michael, you should be kind of embarrassed. The Astros lost 4 straight at home to the Athletics.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But Friday night was even worse.
Yeah.
Giving up
4 home runs
to a rookie.
That Kirk. His name is
At the Cardinal game. I was at the Cardinal game that night while all that was going on. So
I think the rookie's name is Kurtz, isn't it?
Sounds like it.
The one that hit the 4 home runs for the Athletics, Kurtz.
Kurtz, yeah.
I think so. So, Mike Capps, what is your thought on this? Where do you think we stand as far as the Dodgers and San Diego? And
I'm glad you asked me. I have a response to Mitch. Dustin May has been hurt off and on. We used to face him when I was with a AAA affiliate of the Rangers in Round Rock. We used to face him in Oklahoma City.
Right.
And I'm not sure. And I've seen him in a couple of starts on television, and I'm not sure he's well yet.
His velocity is down.
Well, his velocity, and that's a pretty good indication that he's not.
Yeah.
Because when we saw him, he was, you know, you had, golly gee whiz, they had such a rotation in Oklahoma City. This has been 3-4 years ago. They had Dustin May, and he would top out at 101. You had,
Bobby Miller.
Bobby Miller was there. Bueller was there. Bueller was throwing 99 to 100. And they were forced to be dealt with. But I got to tell you, as much as he's been, and I'm talking about Dustin now, he's a great kid. I have had a chance to visit with him some. But I'll tell you, I really do believe in my heart of hearts that he's still not physically right. Just watching his approach, and it's almost as if he's sort of feeling his way along.
Yeah, his command can be great for 2 innings, and then he totally loses it, like he hasn't pitched in a month. By the way, talking about Bobby Miller, who was our first draft pick 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, the Dodgers have just given up on him as a starter. They're moving him.
Yep.
His ERA is almost 6 at Oklahoma City, and they're moving him to become a closer. So you just have to shake your head at some of this
to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just shake your head at some of the young Dodger phenoms and what's happened to him in the last couple, 3 years.
Well, but don't you think too, besides the physical problems, there's a lot of angst in and out of that clubhouse every now and again. And I love their manager, love them to death.
Yep.
I'm just not sure what goes on in the heads of some of these kids.
I agree with you, and we've talked a lot about that on this program over the last few months with all of the injuries. The Dodgers, they just took Trinan off the 60-day. So we now only have 10 pitchers on the 60-day injured list. And that's just unconscionable.
Only 10.
Yeah, we're down to 10.
That tells you, it at least tells me, and I've only been in this racket for 30 years, so I don't know anything about it, but it tells me that there's some kind of inability to either train these guys correctly, maybe too much weightlifting, maybe not, maybe not enough stretching, maybe not. Nobody runs anymore. Nobody, ever. You never see foul pole to foul pole runs like you used to.
Oh, yeah. Pitchers used to do that all the time, right?
That's exactly right, Michael. And you, yeah. And where, how do you, How do you condition yourself if you can't condition yourself with cardio and using your legs? I mean, you use your legs to pitch. It's not just your arm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I guess these gray chin whiskers have just identified me as an older generation type guy, which I am. But that said, I just think they need to rethink what they're doing with some of this stuff.
Mike, am I going on a limb if I say that analytics has a lot to do with this? The fact that owners and GMs, the rest of the front office staff, want pitchers to always throw hard and do things that they're not used to? Because I think that's happening a lot in baseball myself.
I don't think there's any question about it, Bob. And there's a lot of that going on. And I'm not going to start naming names because I think it's pretty much the way of life in the major leagues now. Okay, so you want your pitchers, you're telling me you want your pitchers to max out on every pitch, breaking ball, fastball, sliders, cutters, whatever. You want to max, right? Because that's the way you think you're going to win. And then they come up lame and you can't figure out what happened. I mean, that's an easy fix. Go back to pitching. Watch some Greg Maddux tapes. Watch some Nolan Ryan tapes. Watch some, who was another one of my favorites from back when? Robin Roberts, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that takes you back a ways. But that guy could pitch all day and handle hitters. Yep. Change-ups, curves, all sorts of things. And then, boom, he'd run probably 92, 93, 94 at you, which is about as hard as they threw in those days. I just think this pitching thing has gotten completely out of control. But I think ownership says to itself, you know, there's these, especially relievers, are dime a dozen, and we can just go buy another one when one goes down. First of all, that has nothing to do with being a human. Secondly, you pay good money for that guy. What are you doing?
Well, to make your point, Mike, the Dodgers have used, and I'm not counting the two position players who have been in games this year, the Dodgers have used a total of 34 pitchers.
Good Lord. and you know, you always used to hear managers 10, 15 years ago say, well, when they had their first spring training meetings, they say, and there's the 40-man roster guys are in there. Every one of the 40 better be ready. Well, nowadays, mm-hmm. you need a 50 or 60-man roster just to accommodate enough to get you through.
Yep. We're just showing our age, but that's just life.
There are a lot of people who went before us that did things very, very well in baseball. And you know what? They still do very, very well in baseball now.
I'll tell you another area.
Leave them alone.
I'll tell you another area that's watered down in baseball right now. And this is the consensus of a lot of people, from fans to radio talk hosts to whoever wants to talk about it. Umpiring. I'm hearing so much criticism about umpiring these days. It's unbelievable. Where's the training coming from nowadays? Why are there umpires making so many bad mistakes?
That's a $64 question. I have been around in the Pacific Coast League, and I forget the number of years ago, 3-4 years ago, we started mixing that beautiful little thing they call, I'm struggling for the name of it, but you have the challenge, for three games. You have this basically a robot umpire.
Are you talking about the ABS system?
Yes. There you go. But, and you know what?
It's, are being screened by smart call
they perfected it to the point where I think it's irritated a bunch of umpires. So, and what, during the games, the three games, every homestand we'd have that you had the robotic umpires, they were pretty spot on. I mean, because you see it up on the scoreboard. I mean, it points it out clearly. Bottom line is, I think a bunch of umpires are irritated by that because they're some of the ones that came through and had to step aside and stand behind the hitter and the catcher whenever this robotic umpire was in place. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But my heavens, I've seen more wide 5 to 6 inches off home plate called strike threes this year than I want to ever see again.
What's interesting is that the two primary Dodgers announcers, Tim Neverett and Rick Monday, and Rick, of course, a former great major leaguer, I have never heard them as critical of the umpiring this year as ever before. It's at least twice, three times a game. They make a comment about a ball that should have been a strike or a strike that should have been a ball, or, you know, a pitcher throws the same pitch and the first time he throws it, it's a ball. And the next time he throws it, it's a strike. Same pitch, same location. It's just amazing.
Let me just explain let me just 1 second and I'll explain this and then just jump all over me, Michael. Here's what happens. Up in the booths, we have a system where we see where the pitches are also. And that's why, Rick could do this in his sleep. And he, one of the greatest guys I have ever met in this game is Rick Monday. And I just love the guy to death. And I love his announcing. And I wish they let him do play-by-play because he's
So do I. So do I.
But the bottom line is, I think that has a lot to do with it. So, Michael, jump on me.
Well, I want to just get you guys' opinion on this. We're talking about, you mentioned earlier about some guys who have played earlier and how they might do in today's game. But this comment, I just heard it over the weekend. Some commentators were talking about football and basketball. And they were talking about when we talk about different eras, how would those players do in today's game? Their conclusion was that the game has changed over time. Some players may do well, some players may not. So you guys think that baseball, given what we talk about all the time about the injuries and all those things, has baseball changed?
Oh. Go ahead, baseball somebody, and I'll jump in.
Well, I was going to say, Michael, baseball has changed, and because for years and years, the critics said that football and basketball was evolving to meet the demands, the entertainment dollars, and the demands of younger fans, and baseball didn't do it. So now baseball is under Manfred they've decided to incorporate changes. A lot of those changes we've all talked about and we all don't particularly like them. My least favorite being the ghost runner at second base in extra innings. But this is all about basically turning their backs on old guys like us who love baseball. And you know, Mike, everybody knows, our guest does. I've been following baseball since the Dodgers came out to LA in 58 and really a year before that, because my dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. But they're turning their backs on us because we're old. They want the 20 somethings They want the kids, and all the kids want is excitement and entertainment and fun. And so as a result, baseball has incorporated a bunch of gimmicks that us old guys aren't real happy about. But that's what's going on, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
I just want to make one comment to you, Mitch, before we go back to Michael. Okay, so baseball wants to appeal to the 20-something-year-olds, okay? And, of course, a lot of this is about launch angle and swinging for the fences.
Yep.
And you say the younger people, you say the younger people want excitement. I agree with that, or so they say they want excitement. How much excitement is there watching strikeouts all the time?
Thank you very much.
Well, it's a gamble. I mean, I'm the only person in LA who probably has a gripe against Shohei Ohtani, because as great as he is, he struck out 7 times in the series against Boston. I think he struck out 7 times in the previous series, but he's sitting there. Nobody leaves. Monday has talked about this. Nobody leaves their seats when Ohtani comes up, because there is that chance that he's going to hit a home run. And that's what everybody gets excited about. And if he strikes out, he strikes out. But they're there to watch Ohtani and all these other superstars hit home runs.
Well, and what ends up happening here, and I see this, I don't see it in the collegiate game so much. This UTSA team that I've worked with the last 3 years ended up beating the University of Texas 3 straight games. 2 of those allowed them to go play UCLA in the super regionals.
College, where,
and they had a great, great program, and the coach is great, and they're building it out at UTSA. That said, the coach there played in the early 2000s and coached at Rice for Wayne Graham, who is an old time baseball coach. And so these kids are reflective of what their coach is coaching and teaching, but it is, we won games where you bunt the guy over, you got a runner at third and less than 2 outs. You're going to try, if you're a right-handed hitter, you're going to try to go the opposite direction to score the guy. That's excitement to me. That I can work with that in a booth describing a game better than some big donkey just swinging from his heels and looking like an idiot when he misses all the time. I mean, it's like, come on. There's a game to be played here, and athletes that aren't exploited for what they can really do. We've got guys in this game now that can run 3-3 to first base. Yep. And Mickey Mantle's the only guy that I ever knew could do that. But they got him now. Well, use the speed. I mean, you've got 5 and 6 guys on teams sometimes that never steal. Well, that's leaving part of your arsenal on the bench.
I wonder how some of these. I wonder how some of these players feel, knowing that they're being made to do things that they're not used to. The union should step in and say, "Hey, look, we want to be ourselves." But then somebody told me if the union tried to speak up, it wouldn't work because, the owners have the final say and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think they're right about that. Yeah.
I said last week after the Brewers took the Dodgers 6-6 that Milwaukee is going to the World Series from the National League. They played baseball the way we remember baseball being. They do that. They move runners along. They use their speed. They play good defense. My prediction is Brewers are going to the World Series.
I think you're right, and I'll tell you why. I know Pat Murphy a little bit. He managed in El Paso a few years ago before he got back in the big leagues. But he's a college coach by trade, okay? And they are doing the same things in Milwaukee that his collegiate teams did. They play baseball. It's not seeing how far you can crank one and all the girls go crazy. Here we go. Here's the gray hair coming again. I can't help it. It's like, come on, play baseball. And more and more, we're seeing college teams do that. And it has to do with, if you're a mid-major like UTSA is, you're in Texas, he's not recruiting the cream of the crop. He's having to recruit the second level and third levels of cream of the crop, but he's coaching them up to the point where, I mean, we had two guys drafted, and four guys signed non-drafted free agent. Well, somebody's watching those guys, and you know what? Four of the six are going to make it somewhere. They're going to top out at AAA. Maybe one may make big leagues, but what's the difference? You got baseball players showing you what they can do. And just between us elderly here, these kids, these six all should have been drafted instead of just two, but you know, they weren't, and that's fine. But they're baseball players is what I'm trying to say. And they played as a team, and you don't see that in the big leagues much. These kids were cheering for each other all the time, every game.
Don, what are your thoughts?
Money gets in the way of baseball players. They're worried about their paycheck instead of just playing baseball. I had the same conversation with my team while we were in St. Louis. Just stick to the fundamentals, guys. Work on the fundamentals, the things that got you here. And I think if pro baseball players would just stick to the fundamentals, you'd have a different brand of baseball.
Michael, there's no doubt about that, but got to remember, let me just give you something here. You'll all understand this better than anybody I know. UTSA plays University of Texas, and University of Texas guys, there are some guys making serious money playing for University of Texas.
Oh,
we had
NIL.
NIL. And you know what? That's going to be the downfall of college sports unless they figure out a way to fix it. But what happens is our kids wanted it so much more than the Texas kids did. You looked in our dugout on television and I mean, they're jumping up and down. They can't wait to hit again. They can't wait to get out in the field. The pitcher can't wait to get out to pitch, catcher to catch. You looked over in the Texas dugout and they might as well have been counting their money. They weren't in it. They just weren't. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, fundamentals, absolutely. But get with a coach like Pat Hallmark at UTSA, and he's going to teach you. Because he was one of these guys that was almost good enough to go all the way to the big leagues. Chopped out at AAA, but he learned the game from some great people. And he's teaching kids to be baseball players. I love being with these guys. Just unbelievable.
Don, Mike, you talked about fundamentals. Well, I want to ask Mike a question because he talked about fundamentals. You watch Dustin May. Dustin May couldn't throw me out going from first to second. It is unbelievable, and this goes back to rookie league apparently. And I don't know if the Dodgers are the worst offender, but they got to be close. None of the Dodgers can hold runners on, and none of them can give their catchers, either Will Smith or Dalton Rushing, both who have really good arms, a snowball's chance in Hades of throwing a runner out at second base. Dustin May was 1.5, 1.6 seconds yesterday.
No.
Pitchers aren't holding runners on and aren't throwing, getting the ball to the home plate.
All right. So answer this question. If they're not holding runners on, are the pitching coaches analytics guys for ex-major league?
That's an excellent. Well, the Dodgers pitching coach is Mark
Brian. Yeah.
Mark, and I'm a USC Trojan, so is he, but that doesn't, that he's still not, to me, a top-notch pitching coach. I'd love to see him replaced, but they're not teaching, from the low minors up, they're not teaching the Dodger pitchers how to hold runners on and get the ball to home plate and timely.
Yeah, yeah.
Don?
Analytics, gentlemen. I'll bet you money.
Now,
Michael, down on the farm, I know it's what they're doing.
Mike, you're talking about what you saw with UTSA, and I see a lot of that.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Doing good. How about you, Mike? Yeah, I got here a few minutes ago. Sorry I came in late.
That's okay. No. That's good. I'm glad to hear from you.
But, so your guys at UTSA, you were talking about them, you know, playing the way it should be done. And you see a lot of that in the small time, you know, the Division III. I follow a ton of Division III because I went to Glassboro, which is now Rowan, which is a Division III power. So, and there's a lot of, you know, that kind of good baseball being played at that level. But what I saw a lot of in the SEC tournament and the College World Series were a lot of guys imitating what they see on TV. And that's nothing but bad news. I mean, especially in the World Series in Omaha, there is no ballpark less conducive to home run hitting. So there's no way you should be swinging for home runs at that ballpark in Omaha. It's not Rosenblatt. Rosenblatt, unfortunately, is dead.
Rosenblatt was a launching pad, yeah.
And that was great. All those games were wonderful. But
they were.
But you can't, you know, that's part of why Gage Woods struck out 19 guys, because you have a lot of guys who are, you know, swinging for the fences, so.
Sure they were.
What also bothers me is why do they draft high school kids instead of Division II or Division III guys who actually know something about playing baseball the way it should be played? You know,
they're betting on the come, and they're not go back. It would be interesting, and I haven't taken the time to do this, but as many high school seniors as they drafted, and they drafted a bunch, even in the first round, you got to think they're not paying these guys as much as a guy who's been in college 2-3 years and comes out. I just don't think they are. I mean, how could they? Because look, it's going to be interesting to track these guys. You're not going to. This is a long-term investment for a high school kid and a team that's going to try to bring a high school kid along. Not everybody is an Al Kaline. Not everybody is, just name one recently who came up from high school. There are not that many. You get the kid with the Angels that's now in his 30s that did. But I mean, that's not Trout, Mike Trout, those guys are few and far between. And my whole point, and after talking to a bunch of scouts about this, they say it's very difficult for them to scout a high school guy now because they played so much travel ball, and you don't know how much more they have to grow into real baseball players. Are you looking at where they're topping out, or will they top out at a much higher level than you think? It's hard to judge a high school kid. You've had a chance to look at a college kid for 2 or 3 years, and you got a better read on them. That's what I hear from scouts.
would like to find out if there are any participants who are listening to the show right now who would like to ask Mike Capps a question. You're listening to Sports Roundtable. Our guest is Mike Capps. He does radio announcing for college baseball, has been doing it for minor league baseball for a long time. So, Steve, do we have any hands raised at this particular time?
Right now, we have no hands.
Okay. Just interrupt us when you see one. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Mike,
I have a question. Well, I have a question to ask Mike before time gets away from us. Are you still doing Round Rock games? And I ask because I listen to Alex Friedman when the Dodgers aren't playing on 1340, the game out of Oklahoma City. Is there a station, if you're carrying Round Rock, I'd love to listen to your games. If
you want to listen to me, I haven't been with Round Rock for 2 years. We came to the fork in the road, me being there 24 years, and I didn't like which way the fork was going. And I said goodbye to the Ryans and just said, so if you want to listen to me tomorrow night, I am on, I'm doing all the Texas based games for the Wichita Wind Surge in the Texas League. And it's at ESPN Wichita, and I believe it's 93.2.
ESPN Wichita 93.2. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will give a listen, tomorrow, around the Dodgers Reds game.
So Mike, prior to the show, we touched on a couple of things that may be worth mentioning here. We'll see how the rest of the panel feels about it. Betting is getting completely out of hand. Another Cleveland Indians pitcher, Emmanuel Clase, has been suspended, as his teammate Luis Ortiz was. There's even a network now devoted to betting. I don't think betting should be allowed in sports at all. I mean, if you want to bet with your buddies at a poker parlor or whatever, that's one thing. But all of this official betting now that's going on is absolutely insane, in my opinion.
Crickets. Come on, somebody's got to have a beef besides just Bob and me. Come on.
Well, the guys from Eight Men Out, the guys from the Chicago Black Sox, wherever they are, must be just shaking their heads looking at this going on.
Well, yeah, and oh my Lord, this just whenever I see this come on, and you can talk to my wife, Karen, about this. She sometimes has to leave and go upstairs to her office to get out of the way of my blasts about this. Cause you know, when they do a little shot of the stands and you see those ads for gambling all over the ballpark, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. Okay, so you're giving the owners more money. How much money do the owners need, really? I mean, come on.
No more than what they have now.
Well,
they don't look at it that way. Yeah, they don't look at it that way.
Of course not. Of course not.
They're trying to get more. Yeah.
Which is why there'll be a lockout beginning of 27, because the players don't want a salary cap and the owners do. And I don't think that's going to get settled for a while. I think we're going to be without baseball for quite a while, year after next.
I think that's right. And you saw where, the Philadelphia Phillies outfielder got in the commissioner's space and cussed him out the other day about that salary cap thing.
Who was it?
I'm trying to think. She was. Name the biggest name, and that'll be who it is.
Was it Castellanos? Was it?
No.
Was it Schwarber?
No, it wasn't Schwarber. Yeah, Schwarber, right? One. Yeah, who's playing first base was the outfielder that got hurt.
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah. See, there's my gray chin whiskers working again.
And the other thing, Mike, you mentioned about Caitlin Clark, and I know Don is interested in this. He follows the WNBA. And you were saying about the refs, they're not calling fouls as much as they should, and as a result, Caitlin's getting injured a lot.
Yes, and it's not just a lot. She's out now. and can't play now. I think this is the second time she's been out. I mean, there's some big gals banging her around and knocking her down, mm-hmm.
and getting away with it.
Well, she's been poked in the eyes for crying out loud. I mean, and it's like, is there race involved? Yes. Is there jealousy involved? Oh my Lord, yes. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark has the smoothest jump shot I've ever seen. I mean, it is smooth. And she's far and away the best female basketball player I've ever seen. And I just hate to see somebody like that get beaten up. But I mean, Stephen A. Smith has called out those people who've beaten on her. Two or three other talk shows have done that. And it's about time. Boy, I'm on a soapbox today, man. This is awesome.
Well, Colin Coward said the WNBA refs don't get paid as much as college refs, and they need to improve the quality. That it's second rate, basically, in that in the women's NBA.
Well, they need to train them like other leagues do.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen her.
Call yourself a professional referee, a professional official?
No, it's not professional. It's way worse than that. I'm ashamed to watch it. I mean, I watched a little bit of the Fever play Chicago yesterday, and didn't see it so much because Caitlin wasn't playing. But boy, they missed five or six that should have been, you know.
Well, the thing with Clark goes back to college. You could see it there.
Oh, they sure. Oh, yeah.
Just resented this Midwest girl getting all the attention. But hey, that's the way it is sometimes, girls and guys.
Who is this place?
Kevin Berkery.
Did you raise your hand? It's all right, though. No problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Sorry, guys.
Well, you can be one of our guests. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, that's just my thought that, you know, there's jealousy involved. And one further thought, he's right about her shot. I saw her launch a couple in a game from Steph Curry land, and they went in.
She is a female Steph Curry, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, she's turning loose some shots that are, you know, you used to say, oh, boy, 20-foot jump shot. That's really far out. I'll bet you she's going 30, 35 feet.
Well, what I like about her is not only her ability to shoot and score, but her ability to share the ball. She makes.
Oh yes.
Her assists are notable, and to me that makes her a complete basketball player.
It does. It does. And we'd love to see that in baseball just as well, wouldn't we?
Mike, do you think there's jealousy going on in the WNBA and that's why these players are doing what they're doing to Caitlin?
There's no question in my mind. I mean, I've watched enough of it to have a pretty good feel for it. And it's not just somebody poking an eye or knocking her down or shoving her down or throwing her down physically, which I've seen. It's the grimaces and the cursing and other stuff that went along with it. And it really defines who people are and what they are.
It feels like it's.
And she's got a couple. She's got a couple of protectors on her team, thank God, who've taken people down. But that's not. We're not watching the WWE. I mean, this, you know, this is different. This is basketball, and they're playing it like street jealousy. I mean, it
feels like it's a personal vendetta, basically towards her, because
there's a Luther. Hi, Luther.
Yeah. How are you? Hey, Gabbert.
Hi, Luther.
How are you, Gabbert?
Hi, bud.
How you feeling?
If I got much better, you couldn't stand me.
Well, because I know you were dealing with some medical stuff, so I was just hoping you were okay. I hadn't heard from you in a minute.
Oh yeah, no, I had my second open heart surgery in March, and I got
Holy
they told
smokes.
Me I was going to be down for 7 months, but 7 weeks,
oh,
but
you
I was
made it back
up
quicker than that.
Five weeks.
Cabbers are tough. Cabbers are tough.
5 weeks. Well, my second one. I was born with a two flap aortic valve. Everybody in the world, save 3% of us, have three flap valve for your aorta, and you go about it and you don't even know anything, and they plant you and you don't even know anything about it. I was born with a bicuspid too. And 12 years ago, they fixed it the first time. And then and so as my wife said, she told the surgeon as she was taking me home, she said, "We'll see you when we're 86.
Do you have any thoughts? Don, do you have any thoughts about what's going on with Caitlin? I know you follow the WNBA a lot, so you might have something to add to this.
I tell you what, because it doesn't seem to be on Sirius XM.
It's not.
I can't follow WNBA as much as I would want to. I've tried women's basketball all heavily at the college level, and I was very familiar with both Caitlin Clark and Juju Watkins, and
Juju got hurt in the NCAA tournament.
Don't I know?
Yeah, but she's not going to play this year, unfortunately.
She was just a gunner. That's all she was. Yep. She was not anything like Caitlin Clark is. Not anything close to the complete player.
You can probably say the same thing about Paige Beckers too, because for UConn, if it wasn't for Paige, they don't go. And the same thing when Lisa Bluter and now the current who I think she recently retired, and now they have a new coach at Iowa. But when Lisa Bluter was coaching the Lady Hawkeyes, if Caitlin Clark wasn't scoring 40, the Lady Hawkeyes don't go. And I think that's the same thing you're seeing in the WNBA with the Liberty. If Caitlin, if she's not scoring 20 or 30 and they make everybody else do the work, then I don't know, if the Liberty can do what they do. No, the Fever, excuse me, whatever team she's on. If she doesn't score a lot, they don't go.
Well, they had a couple of ladies. I was in and out watching it yesterday.
Right.
They were playing in Chicago and they had a lady who I can't call her name. I wasn't paying attention to names. I was doing three other things, which, being ADHD, I have no business doing that. One thing at a time. But this woman was pounding it. She came away with like 27 points or something, and just really, really was Caitlin Clark for them yesterday. Now, I don't think that's I agree with Luther. They got to get Caitlin back.
Yeah, they do.
So did Caitlin say anything or tout herself
I think just because she just does what she does, scoring almost 30 a night, almost she's literally being the rock star that she is and the silent assassin that she is.
That's
all it is.
And her dad, ESPN interviewed her dad the other day.
I can't understand why they treat her that.
Like I told you, if she does what she does, she's having to score 30 a night. This is why the other players are never going to be the way she is. She does what she has to.
But Luther, look at her, go back. Yeah. I mean, I bet you can find this online. I bet you can go back through her game by games last year and this year, and you can see that as important as her shooting is, and that sort of thing, and the way she runs the floor, and as quick as she is, I mean, she outquicks everybody.
She sure does.
But the thing is, with the assist she has, it's just incredible.
And the beautiful thing is, with how she plays, She plays more like a point guard in a shooting guard's body. She scores, but she's kind of like the female version of John Stockton, where she does other things to get
her
teammates
comparison.
Involved.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah.
Great comparison.
I mean, there's a bunch of point guards that, you know, you can look at. John Stockton, Magic Johnson, Dennis Johnson.
Excuse me. I'm hearing some breathing of the phone.
Yeah, but look at the point guards that would, you know, set up their teammates to be better. And I think that's what Caitlin Clark in her short career at the WNBA level has done with her scoring ability, plus her ability to set up her teammates to get better, to get open looks because of what she does.
Well, if you're a defense and you're focusing completely on her, they're going to have to figure out different ways to defense that bunch from Indiana because she really has peripheral vision that NBA all-time greats have.
Oh, definitely. I mean, think about it. Besides John Stockton, look at what Larry Bird was able to do with the Celtics when they had DJ and all them. You focused on Bird.
It's funny, Mike. Luther mentioned Larry Bird, Mike. I'm going to go back to something you said a while ago regarding some of the reasons why Caitlin is being treated the way she is. And you mentioned race and because she's white. Larry Bird was a white player, and he was treated with respect throughout the league.
Yeah, that's what's so disturbing about this Caitlin Clark thing.
The biggest rivals we've seen basically with Caitlin Clark has been Angel Reese. And I remember Angel Reese when she was at LSU. I mean, she did the same thing and played street ball at the college level where she would always be a pest. But now at the WNBA, at the WNBA, those right now are the two. Because right now, Caitlin Clark's biggest antagonist is Angel Reese.
He'll mug you.
Oh, no kidding. Yep.
And going back to the refs, you were saying earlier, Mike, that college refs are getting paid more than WNBA refs. I think there's a problem with that.
That wasn't me that said that.
What's that?
No, I said that. Bob.
I think.
Mitch. Okay, well, Mitch, if that's true, then something ought to be done about that, though, really, because the WNBA is a professional basketball league.
Well, it's a professional league, but it's the people from up top. That's why you have a raised hand.
I'm sorry, Steve.
I saw you have a raised hand.
All right. Who do we have, Steve? We got about 4 minutes, by the way. Who do we have?
It's Stephanie.
Stephanie. Oh,
hello, Stephanie. What's happening?
Yeah. I've been listening to the news lately. They've been talking a lot of good things about Tom Hamilton.
Yes. I listened to his speech.
Thank you. He's a great friend of mine, and I love him to death, and I'm so excited for him. He's been on my radio show in Texas with me.
I listened to his speech on Saturday, and I mean, they got that 4C Frick speech up quick on YouTube. Literally.
And he should have been put in, and I'm glad he is. You know, the first time I ever heard him was my first game in AA. I was in Canton with the New Britain Red Sox, and our game was rain delayed. It ultimately rained out, but the Indians must have been playing in some other part of the country because I was able to hear Tom Hamilton. That was my first introduction to him, and I'm like, holy cow.
Tom Hamilton.
Well, the guy's passionate. Ultimately, he's passionate. So passionate. And I'm really prejudiced toward him, I gotta tell you.
Capper, look at the folks Hamilton's worked with. From Mike Keegan to Herb Score, Matt Underwood, who's still the TV voice of the Guardians, even though he got shifted to TV. I thought he was gonna work with Hamilton for a long time on the radio side. And now the current guy he's working with now, Jim Rosenhaus. I mean,
we know him from Buffalo.
The Bison, yeah. Pete Weber's old stomping grounds, in fact.
Yep.
Used to do Buffalo Bisons for years.
Mike, before we close, I just wanted to ask you, have you been following the training camps for football?
I've tried not to.
Oh, okay.
Look, like I told you, I'm ADHD, and I can only do one thing at a time, okay? And I live in Austin, so I live too close to Jerry Jones.
Oh,
and that drops my ego about 10 points every time I look at him.
Gapper, come on, dude. That's the beloved and talented. Oh, Jesus. If I hear him anymore, it'll be way too soon.
if I say what I want to say, you'll never have me back again.
Hey, Gabber, when is your next radio broadcast? Cause I think your broadcast partner, Tim Groves, got a call up, I think, what, not too long ago to do a big league game?
He did. He's not a partner. I only do the Texas based games. Mine is tomorrow night at, six. It'll be 7:05 and it's on ESPN Wichita.
The Wichita.
And I believe it's 93.2.
I tried to find it on my Apple Music, but I guess it's not on Apple Music quite yet. ESPN Wichita. So who's out there
because my wife listens, and if I make a mistake, I get a text.
I wonder if the Echo device could play it.
Now, who are you getting, what game is it for you tomorrow, Gabbert?
And I'm in Amarillo, Texas. I drove up from Austin today.
I'm the land of the sock poodles. Yeah.
And I can see Winnipeg from here.
And I believe, and if,
even
if
with
I,
all if, the smoke from the fires in Canada, and, you can still see Winnipeg.
Huh? Yes.
And if yep. I'm and if I'm correct, the guy that used to be the voice of the sod poodles, I forgot the guy's name, is doing the pre and post game show with the Padres now. I don't know who's doing the.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, you know too much. I can't. I remember that in passing, but I couldn't tell you the guy's name if three thugs took me inside and wanted to whip my butt.
It's not Jesse, because I know Jesse Agnew.
You ain't gonna get me. I don't know.
One of the carries was in Amarillo.
The side, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse, whose last name I can't remember, is one of their announcers.
Agler, who took over for Leitner, who was Leitner's number two.
Yeah, Aguilar is one of the play-by-play guys.
He's the lead voice, in fact, with Tony Gwynn.
With Tony Gwynn Jr. Yeah.
And I've never understood this. Now it just feels like the play-by-play guy is doing every inning, because it used to be when I was listening to baseball where they would have, you know, their number two to a couple, at least three innings of play-by-play. And I think, I don't know if that's a trend that's going away in your opinion, Cap, or if that's just, you know, something that's
we have about 20 seconds, guys. 20 seconds.
All right. Very quick. Luther, I'm listening to a game, I can't, it's because I'm busy. I can't listen to them. So I don't know much about trends.
Right.
But I love you anyway.
I was just wondering what your opinion was. I know you did every inning.
We do have to finish up, but thank you, Mike, for being with us again. We'll have you back in the future.
It's always my pleasure, Bob.
Good luck with
your love you guys, man. You're doing a great job.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, and so are you with your broadcast. And keep up the good work as always.
We're gonna do it.
Thank you,
God
Mike.
Willing. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Enjoy it, pal.
Thank you. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. Take care. See you next week.